With Memphis Focus this week on the life of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., we sat down with three generations of a Memphis family and we asked them, what does Dr. King mean to you? And just a note, some of the language in this story is not appropriate for all audiences. Karen Hartridge invited us over to her house to meet her dad and her son. We went to the front door and Karen rang the bell to let them know we were there. And then while we were standing on her stoop, she made this joke.
Hope the police don't stop and say, what's this black girl trying to do? I'm trying to get in this house.
It's a joke that's not really a joke, and we'll get back to it, because her dad appears and lets us in.
Y'all the welcome wagon?
Yes.
How are you?
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning.
And he takes us upstairs, where he and Karen and his grandson James sit together on a big blue sofa. Robert Tunstall is 67 years old. He's retired from the Federal Aviation Administration. He was an airways systems specialist, which meant long hours, lots of stress, making sure planes stayed up in the air. He also spent a lot of time on the road.
You do make sacrifices, but all in all, I really did love what I was doing.
And you did it for how many years again?
39 years, 6 months and one day.
When he was a kid in Memphis, racial prejudice was as much a part of life as breathing. Schools and libraries, the zoo and the theaters were all segregated. So he spent most of his time with other black people. Racism wasn't always in his face. And then when he was about 13, a mall opened.
First mall we had ever seen, so of course it was exciting. And of course it was in a white neighborhood called Whitehaven, in fact.
His dad took him to the mall for Christmas. They couldn't afford to buy anything, so they just sat watching people shop.
And a little white girl came up to me. She might have been my age or a little younger, and she asked me if I had a light for a cigarette. And I looked at her and I told her, well, you're really too young to be smoking. And she told me that she didn't have to take that from no nigger. And she spun on her heels and walked off. And so that was my first in your face.
And then when Robert was 17, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. came to Memphis. And you might think that because Dr. King preached social and economic equality, that a teenage Robert would welcome him. But that is not what Robert remembers. He remembers being afraid.
Dr. King wasn't universally popular because of him being a lightning rod. And it wasn't him, it was the movement that he represented. And so even for those who you want to bring change to, there's fear, there is anxiety, there is concern over what will that look like.
Concern that things could get violent. And those concerns were borne out. Robert remembers sitting around the TV with his family and hearing the news that Dr. King had been killed.
So I sit down and I'm quiet because I don't know what to expect. It's more a moment of waiting for the next shoe to drop.
And the shoe did drop. There were violent riots in cities all across this country. So for Robert Tunstall, Generation One, King was not a perfect heroic figure. He was, as Robert puts it, a rabble-rouser, a complicated person. Now here's where things take a turn. Robert's daughter Karen, Generation Two, says by the time she was in school in the 80s and 90s, Dr. King's legacy had become decidedly uncomplicated, sanded down into a lesson for Black History Month.
You learn about Dr. King, the I Have a Dream speech. You learn that Rosa Parks sat on the bus. I think we had a Harriet Tubman segment, and that's pretty much it.
Legal segregation had ended. Karen went to majority white schools as a child. She took advanced classes and only had a few black classmates. So unlike her dad, who spent most of his time around black people, Karen was constantly being made aware that she was in the minority.
Being the only one in a lot of my classes, I'm asked, you know, when we get to a topic, well, what do black people think about this?
Teachers would ask
that? Yeah, teachers would ask that. And I had to, you know, try and remember, well, I can't speak for an entire race of people.
To Karen, King was a man who led a movement that had broken crucial legal barriers, but hadn't entirely changed society. And it's society today that frightens her. Because her son James, who turns 11 today and has cute chubby cheeks and blue-rimmed glasses, James is also tall and he's big for his age. Remember the joke Karen made on her stoop, how she hoped the police didn't stop us? This is how Karen copes. She makes jokes that aren't really jokes.
I joked about how we're going to walk the neighborhood with my dad and my brother and my son so I can say, like, these three black men belong to me. They're safe. Please do not call, you know, and say a suspicious person is, you know, patrolling the community.
While his mom and his grandpa are talking, James sits next to them on the couch, waiting patiently until it's his turn. Once he gets a chance to talk, he tells me he knows a lot about Dr. King.
I know that he came here for
the sanitation workers because they were on strike because they didn't have safe conditions in the garbage truck. They got underpaid.
What does it mean to be underpaid? Do you know that?
We learned that underpaid means somebody over here who will get paid $50 an hour while you get paid 3 cents an hour.
James learned these details from his mom, not from school.
There was one page in our social studies book.
Can I see the book? Do you have it with you? He reads a little.
One of the leaders of the Montgomery bus boycott was a young minister named Martin Luther King Jr. Over time, many...
This is not an old book. The copyright date is 2012. It doesn't say where Dr. King died.
Nope.
And it doesn't say why he was in Memphis.
Nope.
So what does it mean to you that you know more, you learned more from your mom than you did from your school?
I am fine with the first few chapters being about America, but I want the next few to be what was going on in America, not just about who started America.
And that really disappoints him, because he says things are left out, like how brave Dr. King was, like a superhero. And then his grandpa says, yes, Dr. King was brave, but you and your mom are brave too.
You go into hell. And don't worry about it, because you can come out of hell just like you went into hell. So I wanted them to see that Dr. King is great, but you are just as great.
On the way out, I ask Robert Tunstall, are you going to any of the commemoration events this week? And he says no. He says they're not really for people like him. They're expensive, and for a lot of the events, you need an invitation. He also says it's not like the city made this day a holiday. This week is about Dr. King's death, and a lot of people in Memphis just need to get on with the business of living.
And that was my co-host Noel King reporting this morning from Memphis.